This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
All right, and we are back once again. Thank you to Matt Muratori for joining us. It's it's the House of State Representatives today. No pun intended. Just a quick note. I want to keep reiterating this throughout the show here on Monday Night Talk. We will be updating the ATD website in regards to school closings, any delays, stuff like that. Please go to our website, 959watd.com/closings, okay? Joining us for our next... Actually, he's going to be here for the next two segments. I may talk him into the third one, unless he's got some shoveling to do at 7:30. We have State Representative Tom Coulter, who's joining us. Thank you so much for coming in.
Kevin, it's wonderful to be here.
We are talking with him about a couple of different things. First and foremost, a forum that's coming up. It's scheduled at the moment to be held tomorrow night. It could change. So if anything, stay tuned. Listen to this radio station. If it changes, I'm sure that Tom will be the guy who will let us know, and we'll get that word out. Am I correct?
That's right, Joe. We're going to post it on all the town websites in the district. We're going to post it on my website at tomcoulter.com, on my Facebook at State Rep Tom Coulter, and we're going to air it on WATD. Our expectation is that we're moving forward and that we're going to make the call by noontime tomorrow. It's at Silver Lake High School, and Silver Lake is canceled, so there's plenty of opportunity to clear the parking lot. So it's our hope and expectation, because there are 20 exhibitors at the expo, and there are four panelists coming from distances, so we have to make a decision by noontime tomorrow, and we will.
Now, as you see, I actually printed off the website just in case. I want to make sure everybody was all set and ready.
Oh, you're good.
just so we have it in front of you, in front of us, to kind of talk about this, because it's called A Heroin and Opiates in Our Backyard, a Parent Forum and Resource Expo. What was the thought process behind putting this together?
Actually, Joe and Kevin, this is our fifth forum. We've done a couple at Silver Lake, at Plymouth High School, at Middleborough High School. I'm planning one right now in collaboration with Representative Cutler for Duxbury. And we intend to do them throughout my district and any other location that other state reps want to host them in their community. We're going to give them our material and partner with them. It's again, it's called A Heroin and Opiate in Our Backyard, Educational Forum and Resource Expo. At the other forums, we've had a half a dozen speakers. We've had Judge Rosemary Minahan. We've had the DA's office. We've had treatment centers. We've had rehab centers. We've had DARE officers, resource officers. We're doing this one a little bit differently, and I'm hoping that people find it very informative. We're starting it off an hour early, from 6 to 7, and it's like an expo, like a bazaar. And, you know, we've got a list of all the people that are in these booths, everyone from treatment centers to law enforcement to the judiciary to the DA to EMTs administering, or at least demonstrating how Narcan is administered. It's public health people. It's Beth Israel Jordan Hospital in Plymouth. They're doing an extraordinary job in the community in spreading the word and in spreading education with regard to opiates and how they lead to heroin and so forth. And they're Peter Holden is going to come in and speak tomorrow afternoon. So we're really very, very happy with the people that are coming, with the topics we're going to cover in the expo. Immediately after that, we'll start the second session by showing the 5-minute film that was made by the students at Plymouth North about drug addiction that has gripped the community in terms of the film I'm talking about, in terms of its effectiveness and its candor. And then we'll go right into our speaking program, which is after John Tuffy, the superintendent, speaks, Peter Holden from Beth Israel, the chief of police, the chief of fire and EMS. We'll go into our panelist discussion that has Bobby Wells, the Kingston Police Department, Dr. Judy Jagminis, the chief of emergency medicine at Beth Israel, Ryan Morgan, the principal at Independence Academy, a recovering addict, Rich Barnes, who has been gracious enough to come and share his story. And we hope that we expect and hope to give parents real street information so that they have what they need, and with respect to tools to help with prevention, with education, treatment, how to work with law enforcement. Mike Buttari right now, and I'll stop here. Mike Buttari from Plymouth, the chief of police in Plymouth, is really taking the lead right now in working with communities of parents who think they have a son, daughter, husband, or wife who have an addiction, who will work with them early on, not to arrest them, but to support them and to help them.
Well, I think the help of having drug courts and the awareness of, I mean, you know, your new governor coming in, the first thing he mentioned was the fact that this was one of the top things that he wants to tackle is this epidemic at this particular time.
Kevin, I was on the phone today. I'm meeting with the new governor next week. I was on the phone today with Attorney General Maura Healey for over an hour. Her passion, her interest on this issue was amazing. She knows a lot about it. She's convening a panel to talk about prescription drug monitoring and how we can change that. Mm. She's working with the MHA, the Mass Hospital Association, on their recommendations they filed today on how to change the policy on how drugs, opiates, are administered in the ER.
You know what's interesting about all this is I recently had an experience that will highlight the reason for these types of events to happen. My mom, unfortunately, fell down the stairs a few weeks ago. She's fine. But at the bottom, you know, she hurt her back. Nothing was broken. It was a big bruise. So we went to the ER, and I spent the morning there with her. And she goes, okay, I'll be fine. Go ahead and go home, and I'll get a ride home. I said, okay. So I went to work. She came home, and understandably, she recognized what was prescribed to her. But she was given a prescription, a full prescription of Valium and Oxycontin. And
cotton, codone, because there's a difference.
Whatever the muscle relaxer one is,
cotton
I think.
Oxycontin is the strongest, and codeine is the next level. Okay. But very potent.
Yeah. Correct. So she ended up with two full prescriptions for what is really a large bruise on her back, as diagnosed by the doctors. And I think in total she took two pills to get her through the worst pain, and then she put the rest at a disposal center.
Now, Joe, play that out for a minute. Let's give our listeners this point of view. Your grandmother is a responsible person. She takes a pill or two until the pain's gone. Then she knows she's going to stop.
Yeah.
What will she do with the remainder of those pills?
She'll leave it in her medicine.
She'll put them in her medicine
cabinet.
Correct,
cabins. Yeah.
There are people, the greatest industry right now, the people who are driving this industry recognize the seniors who are coming home from the hospital.
Yep.
And they become a target for B&Es. Because the street value of those pills is $80 a pill.
Mm.
And what's happening, and this is how the heroin epidemic came about, they're stealing those pills. Nobody steals heroin. They steal prescription drugs. They sell them on the street for $80. They use that cash to invest in heroin, where the profit's greater, and then they sell heroin.
Mm.
People can't afford the $80 a pill after a while, so they upgrade to heroin at the $5 a hit.
Sure. I think it outlines a lot. When she told me that was what she was prescribed, I thought immediately about the discussions we've had here about overprescriptions from doctors and hospitals, and I found it just pretty amazing that it was really coming home for me, you know, what was actually going on.
Just a small tease for our conversation at 7 o'clock, and I thought you would be kind of key in on this conversation. We get a gentleman who's going to be joining us to talk about how the risk of painkiller abuse is now going to be a subject in schools.
Yep.
And this is in Ohio, but I won't be taking it where we're dealing with this in Massachusetts, how a Massachusetts lawmaker might have,
Yep.
Want to weigh in on this and give your thoughts on it.
Absolutely. You know, this is a great time for each state to share good laws.
Mm.
And let's not lose a lot of time worrying about authorship. So anything that we could learn about what the state of Ohio is doing is greatly appreciated. What we're trying to do here, one of the things I'm trying to do is we filed a bill last session. It went far enough in the process, but fortunately, the epidemic wasn't bad enough to get it passed into law.
Mm.
I think we have a great shot at getting it passed early this session. And I spoke with the Attorney General for an hour today on probably 3.5 minutes of it just on this topic. It's a school resource officer bill. We talked about it last time.
Sure.
I was in here.
Yeah.
And it's modeled after the Community Preservation Act. It's a local option. Towns don't have to do it. But if they spend money to invest in resource officers above and beyond their 2.5% property 2.5% limit, then the state will reimburse them for half of those monies. Mara Healy told me today there is money coming in from drug busts. There are money coming in from lawsuits with pharmaceuticals. Money that comes into the Attorney General's office on a number of fronts that she would be willing to put forth as the funding mechanism for this bill.
How fitting, too.
How fitting. How fitting. How appropriate. Yeah. So yeah. We'll share that with Ohio. You said Ohio, I believe.
It's Ohio, right? But this is a gentleman who's a... we were supposed to have Kyle, but during the break we got a call that the executive director of... executive director of policy and advocacy for the Center of Lawful Access and Abuse Deterrence, CLAD is their acronym.
I wouldn't want to have to put that in my voicemail.
But it's going to be a valuable conversation. I guess I have to. The question I want to ask is, where do we stand as a state as far as educating the public, and how young should we be? Should we be going to just educate middle school kids, or should we be delving in through K to 5?
We should be working with parents groups to get the answer to that question. They're the best judges of that. But we need to provide education that's geared towards those ages. It's very different for grammar school than it would be for middle, and much different than it would be for high school. Mm. We've raised money from some corporate sponsors to bring Chris Herron to Silver Lake
for former basketball player
for two events in May. And the superintendent and the principal have decided that they want that to be presented from 7th to 12th. It's a pretty straightforward, hard knocks presentation where Chris talks about what happened, how he got addicted, what it did to his professional career, where he is now. Mm-hmm. That's not something we could present to younger kids, but it's something that the older kids learn a great deal and are prepared to listen to. And you know, I really want to thank and a little plug for them, British Bear Company and L Knife in Kingston. They each put up $2,500 to bring Chris to the South Shore so that we could put on these presentations.
Has the, you know, over the past 5 years, do you feel that public perception has changed in regards to addiction, that this isn't the kid gone bad dilemma, a person who you know what, has been trouble from the word go, that it's
that's a great question.
A star athlete can be addicted like that.
Kevin, that is a great question on your part. I've been doing these forums now for a year and a half. And at first, parents really didn't want to come forward after the forum and tell me their story.
Shame.
And you know what that story is. They lost a son or daughter. Yeah. Some of them student athletes. Some of them gifted children. Some of them young adults. Some of them professional adults. Not the people under the bridge that we used to think of. And now, after our fourth forum, we had four people come forward to talk about having lost a son or daughter. And in this booth, in the expo, are parents who have lost children that are willing and anxious to tell their story so that people continue to understand that there is no single story. It could be the student athlete. It could be the depressed young man or woman that's unemployed. It could be somebody suffering from pain. You know, I think you know this. My brother passed away 2.5 years ago from pancreatic cancer. And his final 6 months were peaceful and dignified because we were able to manage his pain. You know, we live in a great country where we have these medical benefits that other countries don't have. And I was grateful for the way he was able to live his last 6 months. But the day he died, hospice came to his home and she asked, "Do you have any pills left over?" So I went into the stash of medication. He had 188 OxyContins.
Wow.
Unused OxyContins. Now, and he was taking a lot of OxyContins every day to stay pain-free, and he was dying. So that was an appropriate application. But did there need to be 188 in inventory?
Mm.
Think about that. So to answer your question, there is a growing education among the medical community. Peter Holden at BI Jordan in Plymouth has led the way in educating ERs. They're spending a tremendous amount of time, energy, and money on this issue. These forums, I'm proud to say, are having a profound impact, and we expect to expand it across Plymouth County. And I've sent what you've got in front of you, the outline for tomorrow's forum, to every state rep. And I told them we'll give them everything we got, all the information, the itinerary, the schedule, the coordination that Amy Belmore has put together, and to encourage them to do the same thing. It doesn't like the thing with Ohio. Mm. It doesn't have to be any original work here. Let's just keep cascading the program.
Yeah, open right. sharing just
open
about.
Sharing.
Yeah, here's something interesting. Kevin and I were both at the State of the City for Brockton, and a startling statistic that the mayor gave is that each month 100 people on average are being saved from overdoses by Narcan. Saved. That would be
because,
100
because
of the overdoses from heroin.
No, but because when Brockton Mayor Bill Copner
came into office,
one of the first things that he instituted was to make sure both the fire department and I believe police, the police department have training for that. Oddly enough, when they were announcing, and I remember it well because I actually saw the video they released, during an announcement at one of the fire stations that all the officers, all the fire department, they all had been trained, a call had gone out, someone overdosing. That individual was saved that day, somebody who was overdosing, in the middle of telling folks that, you know, this training had been completed by these two departments.
Brockton is a very good example in response to your question about how do we get the word out. Since the day Mayor Carpenter was inaugurated, he's taken a lead on this thing. He recognized the problem and he solved it. I can tell you the legislative delegation, Representative Cronin, Representative Brady, Senator Kennedy, have really worked together with the superintendent, have worked together with the mayor's administration to get the word out, to create public forums. I'm very pleased with the work our legislative delegation is doing in collaboration with Mayor Carpenter. And it's working. We will begin to see a reversal. But now we have to talk about the law enforcement part. Mm. When you look at what Plymouth did, Plymouth put 9 street cops in plain clothes on the street. Plymouth is, because their drug overdoses had skyrocketed to 280 in 2014. Chief Boteri took the lead, went to town meeting, they appropriated the money, they put these cops on the street dressed like we're dressed right now, arrests went up, and Narcan, the administration of Narcan, skyrocketed. What happened then is the bad guys began to realize we can't hang around in Plymouth. So they started to go to other towns, other bordering towns. If those bordering towns aren't prepared, they're likely to become the safe haven for dealers. And so it's important that law enforcement work together. They all recognize that there's a problem. They recognize that this transient group of dealers who would pump heroin into our children's veins, they know no borders, but they know which towns are fighting it, and they know which towns are closing their eyes to it.
Right.
And as soon as we get the type of support from our communities that our law enforcement and our EMS people are asking for, then we can beat this epidemic.
Once again, we are speaking with the State Representative Tom Calter, who was good enough to make it in through this inclement weather and chat with us about the situation, about this forum coming up tomorrow night at the Silver Lake Regional High School starting at 6 o'clock. We'll be sure to repeat the details a couple of times before the representative leaves. I will say a quick note. We were scheduled to have Representative Cutler call in and talk about forms of possible substance abuse forum on the 12th, but they're not too sure if they're actually still going to be holding it, so we're holding off on that right now.
Rep. Cutler's working very hard at putting a forum together. He recognizes the issue. He has spoken to the town leaders in the school and in the town, and he, just like Jim Cantwell, the whole group of the South Shore, Senator DiMacedo, Rep. Muratori, all the guys working together. I heard Rep. Muratori talk earlier about the lack of partisanship on Beacon Hill. I didn't send out this forum to just my Democratic colleagues, and Matt doesn't just send out his great ideas to Republican colleagues. We do share things, and that's how we get things done.
Joe?
Well, how much is kind of the health/treatment part of the whole epidemic play into, you know, the overall piece of this? Not only the, you mentioned earlier, drug courts, but then also kind of recovery centers. I mean, do you see a day where the South Shore leads the way in recovery centers and treatment centers in conjunction with the law enforcement piece of the whole thing?
I see the day, and I see it coming soon, primarily because our new governor, who I'm very impressed with, and our new attorney general, who I'm equally impressed with, have made this a priority. I wouldn't carve out the South Shore as much as I'd carve out the Commonwealth.
Okay,
I believe that the bill we passed last spring, early summer, on this drug epidemic issue, put $20 million into additional beds, put real money into education, put money into IT, so that we can begin to track online the multiple druggists and the prescriptions that are being written for multiple people. We used Rosemary Minahan's model to create six additional specialty drug courts around the Commonwealth so that we can treat addicts and give them the treatment they need. We all know that when some people are just bad criminals, right? But when some people break into homes, it's not because they're criminals. They're somebody's mother, father, sister, or brother that had never been in trouble.
Right.
But they're trying to fund an illness.
Right.
And so Rosemary Minahan's drug court, in our bill, we used as the model and funded six more across the state so that when somebody goes in arrested for B&E, they're given a choice. You can go get treatment and be tested every day, and we can suspend your sentence, but you make one mistake. You test positive on your random test, you go to jail. And people are given a shot at getting healthy. Mm. So the legislation we did addressed education, prevention, more beds, more treatment, judiciary type issues. And I think it's up to us as legislators and as community leaders now to now begin to educate moms and dads. And that's what this forum is about.
I got to ask you, and I know that a couple of years ago that there was a movement, a push made to get a fourth recovery high school built on the South Shore. It's in Brockton. Is there any plans down the road to either to have another recovery high school, maybe closer to the Cape, and maybe something that's an advanced level beyond the high school level for those who are looking to, you know, have adult education and try to further themselves once they get beyond this?
There's more discussion about the recovery high school model. We have to work out some bugs because it's a great concept. I support it. Unfortunately, the existing five recovery high schools have run into difficulties trying to get funding from the cities and towns that should be transferred to them that the cities and towns have allocated under their minimum net school spending. So we need to work out those difficulties on funding and on the way the money flows from the town to the treatment center, who are responsible for educating recovering addicts, who, again, I will remind people, are our brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, sons, and daughters.
Everybody's touched by this epidemic.
There's nobody that we're pulling out from under the bridge. These are the people that walk among us every day.
Joe, do you have another question?
I saw an interesting documentary on TV last night about how certain crimes, and you mentioned earlier, like breaking and enterings, are related to the drug epidemic. Has there been, in your discussions with other legislators, have they noticed an increase, maybe not significant, but an increase as the epidemic of opiates goes up, an increase in other smaller, pettier crimes as well?
Direct correlation.
Yeah.
Tomorrow night at the forum, the police chief and the EMS head, Bobby Heath, the chief of fire department, are going to provide real data. And you're going to see the correlation. They speak right after each other. And the increases in overdoses and the increases in those types of crimes.
Sure.
Not violent crimes.
Yeah.
But theft. Yeah. B&Es into cars. B&Es into houses. And it's important right now for people that make the forum to understand that everyone right now, tonight, can help with this epidemic by doing two things. By talking to your kids at the kitchen table about this issue and cleaning out your medicine cabinet. And any drugs that you have, you can put them in a brown paper bag, drop them off at the police department, they'll dispose of them.
Right. Is it, do you, by talking to other parents and organizing these forums, do you find that parents have a tough time having these discussions with their children?
One of the speakers tomorrow evening, one of the four panelists, is a therapist who is going to speak to how do you speak to your children? Mm. They're going to get right at it. And I hope parents come and they tune in to hear that. I've heard him speak many times. Techniques, words, things to say, how to say it, when to say it, where to say it. And this is a difficult problem. Yeah. You know, our parents had to worry about, you know, educating us as a child in a lot of uncomfortable areas, right? It's even tougher today.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And you're talking to kids that, you know, are the smartest people they know when they're in high school or college. And there are techniques that we're going to go over tomorrow night in our forum discussion. Mm.
Okay, we're speaking with the State Representative Tom Coulter, who is in studio. If you will, the last couple of moments of this discussion before we take a break, give folks a reminder of this this forum and expo that's taking place at the Silver Lake Regional High School.
Kevin, thank you for that opportunity. It's the fifth forum we've held. It's the Heroin and Opiate in Our Backyard Educational Forum and Resource Expo. Two parts. The expo are 20 organizations that are setting up booths so parents can walk around the cafeteria and go directly to the booths where they have interest. There are parents who have lost loved ones. There are police officers. There's the judiciary. There's treatment centers. There's counselings. There's people from the hospital. Every one of these groups will provide information for you to bring with you, and you can have one-on-one conversations. Following that, and that starts at 6 o'clock. Following that, there will be a one-hour program, a panel discussion. We'll talk about law enforcement. We'll talk about treatment. We're going to talk about, have an expert there to talk about how to talk to your children. Mm. We're going to have the police chief, fire chief, the president of the hospital, and the ER hospital doctor speak about emergency response. If, for whatever reason, the snow continues, we're planning to move forward tomorrow. And I would ask everyone that's interested in coming, listen to WATD. It'll be posted on their website. It'll be posted on the radio. It'll also be posted on my website, tomcoulter.com, and on my Facebook, State Rep Tom Coulter. And we're planning to move forward. School is canceled tomorrow, so they have plenty of time to clean the parking lots. I'm hoping parents will see the value. They're going to walk out tomorrow armed with information. And they're going to walk out tomorrow understanding that we're making progress in terms of eliminating the stigma that's associated with this epidemic. I like to remind people, if our sons, daughters, husbands, and wives, mothers, and fathers are suffering from diabetes, we fight it. And we win the battle. Mm-hmm. And our friends help, our neighbors help. That's how we fight and win this battle, by talking about it. And it starts by joining us tomorrow evening at Silver Lake High School at 6 o'clock.
All right. You're not going anywhere. You're going to stay with us here as we're going to speak with Mike Barnes coming up right after the break. You are listening to Monday Night Talk right here on 95.9 WATD. Don't go anywhere.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.